Well, you know, in the book of Judges, which is where we are, now we began chapter 9, and in chapter 9, Abimelech was made king. Now, God is king over Israel. But Abimelech has been made king. They elected him, and they gave him some money, and he went and he killed 69 of his brothers. One of them got away. There were 70, remember, of Gideon's sons. One of them got away. And the one that got away told a story, a parable, how the trees were looking for a king, and they found one that was willing to be a king, a bramble, a tumbleweed. Dangerous because they get kind of warm and they ignite spontaneously and start whole forests on fire. They're dangerous. And you, of course, you can remember a little bit about the parable. Or if you get a chance, you can go back and read the beginning of chapter 9. You'll get an idea of that parable. And anyway, he said that it was going to come to no good. And then he ran away, the youngest son. So now we have Abimelech, who is the king over Israel. When God should be king. When Israel should be governed by God is what the word means. But instead, we have Abimelech. Now, in verse 22, which is where we'll begin tonight, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. 3 years. Now Abimelech, when he first became king, he says, what do you want? You want one guy overseeing you, or do you want 70? You got problems if those 70 guys, come on, I'm one of your kin. Those guys aren't. Well, they are, but they're not. I'm your brother. So let me be your king. And what he did was he basically made him promises. You know how that goes. When you're going for election, you want to be king, you tell people, I'll do this. I'll rule over you well. Those guys are going to make a mess out of it. I'll take care of it. Now, you're used to that. You live in America. You've heard that before. He made promises that were false promises. Just as some people do today. But you know, I noticed in the verse we just read, I'll read again, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, you notice everything at first seemed to be semi-okay. Well, except for the murder of the 69 brothers, everybody was willing to overlook that. Okay, sometimes you just have to do those kinds of things in politics. It seems to work for a while. Have you noticed that? It does. It seems to work. But be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure my sin will find me out. It just always does. Years and years ago, a real good friend of mine, as a matter of fact, my assistant pastor. Of course, we were good friends. And he started a little group at his house. Now, I knew the group was there. But why would you worry? Because he's your assistant pastor. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but what was happening was he was slowly taken over. Planning to take over. Have you ever heard of anything like that in your life? Never. I mean, it's just a rare thing. And it all started out so innocently. He would say, well, yeah, you know, Bob does this, but, you know, I'm not sure I agree with him on that. And he started making false promises. You know, I think if I were going to do a ministry, I would do this instead. Now, when the news got back to me, you know, what do you do? What do you do in a case like that? When the news got back, do you call them names? You know, I think the Bible says what we ought to do is turn to God. Turn to God. Remember when David, who was king rightfully, at least God appointed him king. Remember when David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, and you recall that from that moment on, he could never fly as high. Remember that? He could never get up over that. God still loved him. God still used him. But the sword never left his home from then on. Do you remember when his son gathered up an army against him? Don't follow the old man. That guy's a dork. Come with me. I'll be what you really need. He's getting old. The guy does things the dumbest ways. You follow me. Do you remember when Absalom got an entire army together? Remember that? And he came and he was riding against the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the people wanted Absalom too. They're sort of tired of David now. Remember that? And David got word. Your son is coming with an army. He's going to fight you guys. He's going to put you to death. And he's going to take the throne. Remember David? What he did? Went to his room. And he got his backpack. And he filled it with a few things that he might need. Clean undies. Extra shoes. A little bit of food. Remember? And packed it all. Put his backpack on. Went out to the donkey. Got on the donkey. Started right away. And they go, David, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you going to stay and fight? And he says, you know, it belongs to God. I'm not going to fight my own son for it. Let God put on that throne who he wants there. And I think the approach you take is, this belongs to God. Turn to God. And so that's what, in our case, by the grace of God, what we did. And you know something? That never did work out right. And that assistant pastor died and went to hell. Just teasing. Look at you. You are so serious. As a matter of fact, we're good friends to this very day, and he is a senior pastor, pastoring a church in Arizona, and doing very well. It was hard for him, and God can do anything. Do you notice for a little while, it looks like it's going to work out? It always looks like it's going to work out. Abimelech, 3 years now, he's king. But during the 3 years, he's ripping people off. He's not coming through on his promises. And everybody is all of a sudden thinking, oh man, we got taken here. Which happens a lot in different ministries. So please don't let that happen to you. He made some promises, just as some do today. And for a while, it seems okay. 3 years, the Bible says. What happens? Notice something. This is pretty heavy. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem did dealt treacherously with Abimelech. All of a sudden, they weren't friends anymore. No honor really among thieves. They dealt treacherously with him. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons, remember the 70 sons of Gideon, Jerubbaal, might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brothers. God sent an evil spirit. What does that mean? People ask, is this a misunderstanding of Scripture, or is it a bad interpretation or a bad translation? No, as a matter of fact, I think what it does is it brings you and I back to the reality of the situation. We also see in the book of Job, Satan does nothing, nor do Satan's helpers, if you will, does nothing without God's permission. Satan is on a leash. And he goes as far as God will let the leash out, and that's all. And so it is true that when something's going wrong, understand God has allowed that. People have a hard time with that. God is not evil. But God allows things in my life and in your life. When things are going wrong, I look at them and say, Lord, this is going wrong. This is not like... here was my plan. Take a look at the picture. This is not... Look. And I always know one thing. He knows. When I get into trouble or when things aren't correct, I think, you know what? God knows it. I need to pay attention because I'm not sure what's going on here, but God knows this. Job taught us so well. When all that he had was gone, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife says, oh, don't be ridiculous. Curse God and die. He says, no, you're talking like silly. We all know that whatever comes, God allows it, whether it's good or whether it's not good. We all know that. And the Bible says, if you want to read Job chapters 1 and 2, that in all of that, Job did not sin. And so what you're seeing here is God allowing this evil, and it is a spirit, by the way, it's some of Satan's boys coming between now Abimelech and the men of Shechem. They were buddies, and now it's going wrong for them. And they begin to mistreat Abimelech. He's been mistreating them all along. He broke his promises. He hasn't been a real good king. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait, not people who weren't telling the truth, but people who were hiding. Liars in wait for him at the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. How did they get to Abimelech? Well, they sent characters out there to hide, and anybody that would come by, they would rob them. How would that hurt Abimelech? Well, he's the one collecting the taxes. He's starting to lose money. They're trying to deal him a financial blow, if you will. If we can have his stock market collapse, oh, Abimelech will be finished. People won't like him and we'll overthrow the guy. So remember, if you're a part of overthrowing someone, keep in mind it's coming your way. Be careful of that. Now, the men of Shechem should have realized we've done wrong, Abimelech is bad, and what should they have done? Not stole from him, try to hurt his wallet. They should have turned to the Lord. Do you understand what's going on here? When you see that you've done wrong, you don't try to get that man, that woman, that group, that whole team, you don't try to get them back. When you see that is incorrect, and I have been a part of it, now you step back and you say, you know what? I need wisdom, Lord. Turn to God. Don't begin to return evil for evil. Don't begin to come up with ways to hurt or destroy. That's not God. You need to turn to God and say, Lord, what do we do? I have been wrong. I have sinned. Show me what to do. The men didn't do that. The men of Shechem decided to deal him a financial blow. They're going to hurt him. They should have turned to God instead of trying to deal with it on their own. The next time it happens to you and I, turn to God. You get cheated. I know you do. It happens. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes out of nowhere. You do get talked about. It just happens. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes your name is like lunch. It just comes up. I'm sorry. Well, I have to keep you awake. But however it happens, what do? Turn to God. Turn to God. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know. I mean, I may have been a part of this whole scheme to make Abimelech king. Now I see it's wrong. I see he's ripping us off. He's cheating us. I thought differently. I was wrong. Lord, tell me what to do. And God, I think, would have heard and answered. You've seen him do it throughout the book of Judges, through the first 8 chapters already. Each time the people would cry out to him, he would deliver. But instead, they want to do it on their own. That's where I'm going to get in trouble, when I'm going to do it on my own. Ambition. Pastors' conferences, we're told often, watch out for men and women with ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition, but when you want to get the glory, when you want to get into the light, there's a danger. James chapter 4, verse 6. If you're taking notes, you can write down this verse, look it up later. Or if you're fast, head for it. James 4, 6 says this: God gives more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. It means he stands against me when I am prideful. No, he loves me, of course. Now, you don't find in Scripture that, okay, I'm a turkey, so, and I'm standing up being a turkey, so God doesn't love me anymore. And that's not scriptural. And I think that's where some of us are confused. But he resists the proud. Abimelech. I'm going to be king. We'll kill all my brothers. I'll be king. And he starts ripping people off and misusing. And God stands against him at that point. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So watch out for that ambition. Be careful of that. Also, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. It says the same idea. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Had God wanted Abimelech to be a judge, God could have put him there. But Abimelech exalted himself. He had that ambition. It's going to come back on him because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If you really want to get someplace, God says, humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When is due time? Well, when it's due time. God knows what he wants for me. I don't. And he knows what he wants for you. Many times you don't. But if you will trust him, if you will just trust him, you know how hard it is for me to just sit and wait? You could ask my wife, this is true. When I'm sitting, my foot's moving. I have to sit in a rocker. Because you can't sit in a chair, it doesn't move. And in a rock. What are you doing? Nothing. I have not sat still since I was 6 months. You know how hard it is to wait on God? And I got friends who are no help. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. Well, hey, what are you going to do now? I just said I don't know. Well, okay. Oh, I was 2 minutes later. What are you going to do now? You're not helping me, man. Sit in my rocker. Now, I laugh because that's true about me. I'm not really peaceful. But I still need to wait on God. I still need to wait. I still need to say, I don't know what to do. Lord, tell me what to do. I want to turn to you. Tell me what to do. And then when I sin, and I head a direction he didn't send me, I stop and I confess it. Say, oh, here I'm way out here now. Where do I go now? He says, sit in your rocker. What does he tell you? Man. Turn to God. Don't handle it on your own. Remember, don't try to make yourself something you're not. We've talked about that. We're seeing that in the book of Acts as well. When we studied chapter 5 and we saw Ananias and Sapphira. Pretending to be more holy than I am, pretending to be something that I'm not, is not going to ever do me any good. And it's always, always, always going to come back at me. Always. I can never get away with it. So if I could get that through my thick head, then I could just say, all right, just stay down, stay down. Now, I see Abimelech here who murdered his brothers. And you know you're not going to get away with that. You're just not going to get away with it. But years have gone by and everything seems to have been going okay. Now it's starting to unravel. And Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, you can write this down also, tells me that. And Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Yeah, and he is talking about as well giving. He's talking about giving, but it fits in all areas of your life and your ministry. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, if I could just remember that. I have a saying that I say. You guys that know me know that I kind of mix my cliches. I love to put them together, turn them around, upside down. I learned that from my mother. So I do like to say, and it's scriptural, it's just a flipped around cliche. Time wounds all heals. And that's so true. So I'm going to live like a heel. It's going to come around. It's going to come back and it's going to get me. And if I could get that through my head, then I could humble myself and realize I don't need to fight with people. I don't need, if somebody wants to take the church, if somebody wants to take my place, it's God's. It belongs to Him. We don't fight each other over these things. That would be a shame. Although it happens to us, and we do get caught up in the arguments, and as soon as I'm caught up in an argument, usually my 9 times out of 10, what I need to do is just defend myself. That's always so important for some reason. So we have Abimelech here, and we have the men of Shechem, and they're all wrong. What we have now, you're going to see, is the very same thing that happens in the church with Christians now. And so you'll see what I mean. The men of Shechem, verse 25, set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told Abimelech, they're stealing from you. That highway's not safe. Anybody that walks by gets ripped off. And Gaal, the son of Eber, came with his brethren, verse 26, and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. See how fickle. It was just a few years ago. They helped murder 69 men so that Abimelech could be king. And you might have figured if you're working with that kind of individuals, they're going to turn on you sooner or later, and here it is. And they went out to the fields and gathered their vineyards, and trod the grapes, and made merry, got drunk. They went to the house of their God, and they did eat and drink, and cursed the king, Abimelech. Now there's a nice way to go. You get together, and you talk bad about the guy in charge. Aren't you glad that doesn't happen to us? At least they were drunk. They went out to the vineyards, gathered the grapes, smashed it all up, they made their wine, and they got drunk and then started insulting the king. That guy's a louse, he's a weasel, what a wimp. I mean, yeah, if it wasn't for us, he wouldn't be king. He doesn't know what he's doing. All of a sudden, he's the dumbest in the world. Now, this isn't happening just because. And I know it's not. Because God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the people. God is allowing this trouble. He's allowing it. He could stop it at any moment, shut it down. He's allowing it. And many times, God allows these kinds of things to happen. They get together and they start talking big. That's kind of how I see it. They cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said this. And this is very common behind the back of people. This is no good. We don't want to be this way. He says this, who is Abimelech anyway? Who does that guy think he is? And who is Shechem? That we should serve him. Is not he the son of Jerubbaal? That's Gideon. And Zebul, his officer, served the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. For why should we serve him? See, all of a sudden, he's had a little too much to drink. He's feeling brave. So he begins to talk bad about... And I remember in my early days when I found out. That's just what my assistant pastor was doing without being drunk. And of course, the first thing you think is, now how on the earth could your friend do that? Your friend wouldn't do that to you. Of course he wouldn't. And of course, the people that love you would not let him say that. They would not let him. They'd just say, oh, quit it. Just be quiet and let's talk about John 3:16. So it's hard to accept that it's going on. But it still goes on. Now, he was a lousy leader. I'm sure I was probably the worst pastor in the entire state. We're not saying these guys are great. We're just saying that the people are handling it all wrong. They're handling it on their own instead of turning to the Lord. You're going to see it will destroy them. So as he's talking, he says this. Would to God this people were under my hand. You know, I should probably be in charge. Now you've got the ambition. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see that? Now, would to God, well, Lord, if I were in charge here, if I were running things, and I have told you before, and all of us, we can see it. I mean, when I watch television, and I have told you this before, and I watch them play football, I always think, well, that quarterback, what a dope. Oh, if he had the sense I have. But I'm calm. I have chips. I'm in my rocker. There's not the patter of little feet coming to hurt me. I can calmly think. I can watch the instant replays. And I can make amazingly wise decisions compared to that little guy who's getting crushed. I even know why he's getting hurt. Look at that kind of chubby guy right in front there, number 30. He's not blocking. Ha! Let me out there. Don't let me out there. I played football in high school, and we had, some of you, none of you are this old probably, but Denver Broncos, Floyd Little, great running back, number 44. He came to teach us. And he held the football, it looked like a vitamin pill in his hand, as Bill Cosby would say. The guy was huge. I'm standing next to him, and I'm one of the tough guys. And I look like, I come up to his waist, you know, I'm staring at his buckle. And he's huge, and he doesn't have his shoulder pads on yet. He is huge. And I'm thinking, Lord, you could be hurt out there with people that big. I'll go be a pastor. I'll buy a rocking chair. That's what I'll do. Those people are huge. You ever stand next to a pro basketball player? Have you? Oh my goodness, the guy is 7'2". And you're thinking, how do you throw the ball over that? How do you do that? I mean, you got to see them. They're all legs. You know, their waist comes up to their neck, you know. And you're thinking, how do people get the ball over there? I mean, he must hurt you quite often, knocking it back down at you. How do they do that? You got to really have respect for the guys that are 5'3" in the NBA or whatever. It always looks easier when you aren't doing it. It always, and of course, it always looks like, why doesn't she do this? How come we don't do that? We all need one of these. Can't they see we need one of these? That stupid king? Would to God this people were under my hand. Then would I remove Abimelech. See, he murdered his brothers. I would murder him. That would straighten everything out. And he said to Abimelech, now remember now, what's going on. He's had too much to drink. Abimelech is nowhere around, and so he's talking to him. And this is very common also. I mean, I can call that quarterback anything in the world on TV, but I mean, if he's in the same room, they're big too. I go, I don't think I agree with you, but I'm not going to say anything. He'd probably hurt me. You know, if Abimelech was standing in the same room, I believe wholeheartedly this guy wouldn't be speaking this way. But Abimelech is not, so he says to Abimelech, increase your army and come on out, let's fight. I love it. He talks tough. Well, Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal. Now, wait a minute, you got a counter spy here. You got a double agent. Oh my gosh, you didn't plan on that. Just like in the old days, my assistant pastor never planned on anybody coming to tell me what he said. But it always works out. God always allows it. If you say, boy, so-and-so is ugly, they come to you next week and say, someone told me you thought I was ugly. And you got to go. When it was best just to not even say that. Oh, Lord, just could you shut me up? But it got back, because here's a double agent. There's a spy in the crowd. There always is. Oh, man, I've been standing in groups, not even thinking about what I'm saying. Not even giving it a thought. Now, as a pastor, that was foolish. Foolish. And I said a couple of things, and boy, it got back to me, and I thought, I wanted to say I didn't say it, but of course I did. Oh, I said that? Someone shoot me. Now I got to go apologize to 30,000 people, because one person was there who happened to spread it. I should have just shut up. What does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 11 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11 begins this way. Study to be quiet. It's verses for me. Well, the double agent heard the words and sent messengers to Abimelech secretly saying, hey, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed and his brother, they've come up to Shechem and they are fortifying the city against you. They're going to start a war here, which isn't quite true, but it's a good way to start a fight. Now, therefore, get up by night. Sneak on over here. You and the people that are with you. And lie in wait in the field. Sneak up on them. Everybody's trying to help. What we're going to have here, everybody, is we should have all turned to the Lord. Everybody's got sin here. Everyone needs to be confessing it and turning to God. But instead, they're all trying to pick sides. And that's usually what we do. We've got to decide whose side we're on. And then we're in trouble because, you know what we've got? Civil war. We've got brothers fighting brothers. Sisters fighting sisters. Happens all the time in the church today. Shouldn't. We've all experienced it. But it should not happen. We should be turning to the Lord for direction. Instead, we try to fight and defend ourselves. Now, we're going to have civil war. And you're going to find out civil war is going to destroy. It shall be, verse 33, that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, you shall rise early, set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against you, you may do to them as you shall find occasion. Whatever you want to do, go for it. And Abimelech got up and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. They split into four groups. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate, just looking out. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from hiding, from lying in wait. When Gaal saw the people, in verse 36, he said to Zebul, behold, people are coming down from the top of the mountains. He's looking out, it's kind of early, and he's looking out and saying, there's people coming down from the mountains. Zebul, the liar, says, you're seeing the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. Or in our language, you know, you're just seeing things. I mean, the shadows are throwing you off. There's nothing out there. You're seeing things. Gaal spoke again and said, see, there come people. I can see them now. But they're right down by the middle of the land now. They're down pretty close. And on the plain. Then Zebul could no longer hide it, so he's got to tell the truth. So now he says, where is your mouth now? Aha, big mouth, big talk. Now what are you going to say, is what he says. Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that you have despised? Go out and fight with them then. Now we're going to have a civil war. We're going to have the church fighting the church, friend fighting friend, Israelite fighting Israelite, and we shouldn't have that. And that's where God is allowing it to be in the Bible, so you and I could learn from it. Abimelech. Gaal went out. He was forced to now. He had opened his mouth. He went out before the men of Shechem and he fought Abimelech. Abimelech chased him and he ran away. Many were overthrown and wounded, even to the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arama, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren that they should not dwell in Shechem. So they were thrown out. Came to pass the next day when the battle was over, that the people went out into the field. It looks like the people were just going out to the field to work, to gather. So this is pretty rotten. Now the fight is gone. The armies have fled. You see, they ran. Now the next day, the people came out to work in the field. Now the people are going to pay a price for these leaders fighting one another. And he took the people, divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field and looked. And behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and he murdered them. He smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and murdered them. Here's the picture. They were split up into groups. As the people came out to gather or to work in the fields of what they were going to do, Abimelech and his men ran and covered the gate so that the soldiers killing them, anybody tried to run back into the gate, were killed by the soldiers waiting at the gate. He murdered the city. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city, and he slew the people that were in it, and he beat down the city and sowed it with salt. He spread salt all over the ground so as to make sure nothing would grow. In other words, I'm in charge, and I want nothing to be here from now on. Of course, that's God's job, but Abimelech's a little upset. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, well, they entered into the hold of the house of the god of Beeroth. Remember the false god they served? It was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Abimelech got up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. Abimelech took an axe in his hand, cut down a bough from the trees, a large branch, took it, laid it on his shoulders, and he said to his men, to the people, what you've seen me do, you do the same. So each of them got big branches. All the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech, verse 49, and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. They were hiding in this tower, and what he did was brought a bunch of wood, set it on fire, and burned them all to death, men and women alike, for no reason. His enemies and the men who had attacked him are gone. That's what you and I do when we start to fight with each other. We get angry, and a lot of innocent people get drawn in, and pretty soon people are hurt, people are destroyed, and we've sinned, and we need to confess it. We don't want to fight anymore with one another. We just don't want to. God is showing us in His Word the results, and He's showing us the results are not good. Then Abimelech went to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. Verse 50. There was a strong tower within the city there. And that's where all the men and the women ran to that city. And they shut it to them and they got them up to the top of the tower, hiding in another city. Now he's going to take city by city. He's just going to take control of his kingdom. And Abimelech came to the tower, and he was fighting against it, and he went hard to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. He's going to burn it down like he did the last tower. And a lady who happened to have a piece of a millstone, she dropped it on his head. She leaned out and just dropped it on his head, aimed right and got him in the head. Crushed his skull. Break his skull. And he called hastily to the young man that was his armor bearer and said, "Kill me. Draw your sword and kill me. That men say not of me, a woman has killed me. Hurry, hurry, kill me. That woman just dropped a rock on my head and I'm dying." John Kirsten says he has a splitting headache. That's scriptural because his head's broken. So, the young man thrust him through and he died. Beautiful way to go. Some lady dropped a rock on his head. And he had to be killed by the young armor bearer. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed everybody out of his place. Now, don't you see, when the trouble is stopped, even the armies just drop everything and say, "This is sort of dumb. Let's just go home. What are we doing?" If we could all just humble ourselves, the fight will stop. you can just stop the trouble. The fight stops. The civil war ends. They all go home. And it was thus. And when the men of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. He got it on his head too. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. That's how the chapter ends. That's where we'll stop. His pride destroyed him. The pride of the people. The sin came back upon them. Always in my life, God will not let me get away with it. It comes back upon me. And when He loves you, when you belong to Him, you notice you don't get away with as much as everybody else does. Have you noticed that? When you really are His, He's on your back a little more quickly, isn't He? There's a lot in this chapter, and I know that people read it and say, gosh, I didn't see any of that. It's there. Read it. Read through it slowly. See. See the anger of the brothers. See the ambition that says, I can do better than him. Let's just murder them. Let's just get rid of them. I'll do better. But those are false promises. You see, when God tells you to do something, do that. We will be glorifying to our Father if we will just trust Him and listen. One of the ways that I know my life will be better is if I will remember God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I believe, I have no doubt, God has a plan for each one of you. All of us. I really believe that. I know He will use you. I know He will. He loves you. I know that the whole world could use some help. And I know that you guys all work out there in it. Live out there in it. Travel through it. I know He'll use you. If you will just not try to take, but if you will humbly just say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. If we ourselves will love one another and then love our brothers and sisters and love people, whether they're lovable or not, if we will do that, I believe God will bless and others will come to Jesus. That, I think, is the goal. The goal is to see lives changed, people saved, snatched from hell, so that they're all right, so that they're okay. Sometimes I know they don't want to hear it. I know. Sometimes you tell them and you tell them and they're just fighting and they don't want to hear it, but they can still see it. Because that's loud too if you'll just live it and trust Him. Pray about these things. Pray about them. And see what the Lord says to you. Let's bow our heads together as we get ready to just praise a bit before we close.